Say amen. Hallelujah. Do I hear an amen yet? Do I hear an amen yet?
Amen.
Okay, I'll just make sure you guys are awake. I know. Do we need to turn the lights on? Give me the front lights, please. We're at Galatians chapter 4, and we begin at verse 12. Verse 12, I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. Did y'all see that? What does your scripture show you? Y'all are reading it too, right? All right. This is beautiful here where he says, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Do you see that even when you're going through and you got an illness in your body, still preach, still pray, and still reach out? What happens a lot of times, people think, I got something going on in my life, I can't do this. No, that's the time you do it. You know, I've seen many people say, well, when I get healed, then I'll pray for the sick. No, you pray for the sick now. You pray for the sick right now. What you do unto others is seed, and guess what you're going to get in return? The same thing. The same thing. And this is what the apostle is writing to the church. But here's what I want you to go down to 21, verse 21. Galatians 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman and one by a free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son by the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants. One proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren women who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Isn't that beautiful? You are children of promise. You're not of Hagar, the bond slave, meaning the slave. You are of the mother Sarah of faith and grace. Do you understand that? You are not that which Abraham took into his own matters and went with the slave and born out of that. These two are still at enmity today. We are free. We're free because of the blood of Jesus, but also the covenant of Abraham and God. We come under that covenant. Do you understand? And here's what I want to show you about the sufficient grace. Haven't you got some thorns in your flesh before? Huh? Aren't they irritating to get out? I mean, irritating. Sometimes you got to be picking at it to try to get out, and it just seems like it's digging deeper and deeper. You get that little safety pin, you heat it up real good or dip it in alcohol, and you start picking at the skin just to get to it. It keeps pushing it down. You poke yourself, and then blood starts coming. But you never got to that little thorn. It's just irritating, isn't it? Some of the things in life happen to you because they're just irritating you. It's a spirit. A spirit. It is a spirit. This is 2 Corinthians 12:9, New King James Version. It says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to shout when I'm sick? Y'all reading the same Bible that I'm reading, right? I'm going to shout when I'm sick. Some of y'all may have diagnoses in your body. Y'all may have things that are going on in your life. But he's saying that I'm going to boast. Regardless of my infirmities, I'm going to shout. Why? Because it's only temporal. Only temporal. We may try to get all those little splinters out, but God knows how to get directly to them. You understand? Have you ever tried to put a Band-Aid on your child when the child was little and they have a boo-boo? You get the cotton and the alcohol. Lord Jesus, help you. And the Band-Aid. The Band-Aid don't scare them, but it's the alcohol that does. And you got to chase them just to put it on them. That's kind of how we are when we got the thorn. He's like, I want to get to that. And I can get it. You'll mess it up, but I can get it. But you move around too much. Just be still. It's all right. Because in your weakness, my strength is going to show you that I can do great things. Great things. The blessing of the Lord, even unto your enemies. Go to Genesis 18, 1 through 15. Go to Genesis. And when you're there, say amen. You there? Yeah? Okay. Just making sure y'all are there. I want you to see what I'm going to show you. Genesis 18. Now, I'm just going to kind of give you something here. Genesis 18, 1 through 15 is something that you need to see that we have some issues in our life. I'm just going to leave this one here for now. Genesis 18, as I set this up, this is when the angel has come. The angel has come to who? Abraham, Sarah. But the angels came in and tell Abraham that in your old age, Sarah, your wife, is going to have a child. Sarah's in the tent. She laughs. And the Lord says, why does your wife laugh? I didn't laugh. Oh, you did laugh. No, I didn't laugh. No, you laughed. Spoke something. But what I want to show you here is what God began to show me is that sometimes in our seasons in our life, we have gone through so much that we get worn out, do we not? We don't look like the young whippersnapper that we used to be before. We don't have the size 6 waist like we used to. We had grace when we put on the stilettos. We wore the Zoot suit and the Stacy Adams, and you look fly back then. Now, if you were like some of the folks that I know, you had your khakis. Starched, baby, starched. Your Stacy Adams were so shiny, you could look down, you didn't need a mirror. Well, watch it now. See, you're giving yourself up already, man. But what happens is we would take pride because we look good. And as time goes on in life, we don't even know. Things just start to just go down. It's tiring looking good, right? It's just tiring looking good. We don't get the finances to go get our nails done. We just put the press on. It's already polished. You wonder why when you go to scratch your head, boop, it pops off. You're just trying to make some things work just for a little bit. Trying to make it work. The angels come and Abraham realizes this is of the Lord. Now, if you read on in that section of the story, they go on and they're going to go and judge Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham cries out for Lot. We understand that. But I want you to see this. When he spoke to Abraham and Sarah, they were beyond the years of having children, correct? Now, I want you to follow me on this. I'm not trying to be silly. They're old. Old. Okay. Dust, old. I say dust, give you just visual. The baby formula that's on the shelves, not the liquid, but the powder. You got to add something to it to make it worth something, right? To substance, right? Sarah couldn't produce for the baby, so she's older. What I want to show you at this point now, we go to Genesis 20, 1 through 18. Who's there already? Genesis 20, 1 through 18. Just gave you a quick synopsis real quick on Genesis 1. You there? All right. Can you begin reading real quick? It don't matter. It all comes out to be the same.
Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar, and there Abraham said to his wife Sarah, "She is my sister."
Stop. Abraham, why would he say that his wife is his sister in this region? Continue reading.
Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her.
Okay, now watch this. Watch this. Abimelech is the king of that region, correct? Now, a king can have whatever he wants. Whatever the king wants, he's going to get. So don't you think the king could pick any woman in the city he wanted? What would make him want to go after this old woman?
Because he's beautiful.
Wait a minute. Prior to, she was before, she couldn't, she was barren. She couldn't handle, she was beyond in her age. She was 90, Abraham was 100 years old. What would take place for the king to look at Abraham's wife and say, I want her? No. Don't get it twisted. No. When God spoke to them, a change took place and her youth restored. So that her body could produce. Now watch. They had to be able to see with their eyes that she couldn't produce. But now as they sojourn out of the place where everybody knew her that she couldn't have babies, as they sojourn to another area, now they don't know her past. You don't hear me. They don't know your past. Because when you get into a new territory, he sees you restored. So that you are now able to produce. Come on, I'm trying to help you. This is helping me too. Because now a king Abimelech is looking at her. You fine, sister. You with all of those real nails, stilettos, and looking fine too. You've been doing your jazzercise or your Zumba because you're looking good. I want her. Why? Because she looked good. That also tells me that's why Abraham said, something transpired in you and in me. I don't want anybody to take you. And I'm afraid they're going to take you. But if I say that you are my sister, I might have a chance that they don't take you.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
So when she walks up on the scene, she had her strut going on. You know, they just, I don't know how to do it, but they do it. So King Abimelech sees that, says, I want her. Takes Sarah with him into his bed. And watch this. Now the king can do what he wants, when he wants, to whomever he wants. He already had a harem of other women. So there must have been something very special about Sarah. When grace is on you, everybody wants a part of you. When grace is on you, it restores what you've already lost or what you once had. He can bring back to you the years that you've already lost beyond the ability to reproduce, and he can give you the appearance that you are okay and you are beyond your years of time. When favor is on you because God has spoken a word concerning you, many people may want to come and say, something is on you. I want you in my place. Oh, I'm going to get into the spirit now. You ever seen people that know how to move under the Holy Ghost? You see leaders real quick say, I need you in my ministry. And then when it's time for you to get out of where you're at, then the one that needs to let you go don't want to let you go. Huh? Because they know that something is on you. Come on. Put yourself there. You know you've been in situations where you've been looked over because of age, color, creed, everything about you. But when God speaks something concerning you, watch this, brother. Watch this. You came at a good night. I have prepared a position for you. Don't mean it's going to happen right now. Don't mean everything's going to go the way you want it to go right now. But I prepared it for you. I got to let you marinate in my word. I got to let you sit in my word just for a little bit. It's going to get you so frustrated, irritated, just like the splinter. Did you try to take matters into your own hand? Just adds that little to it, you know, just. So when you start doing that, you start cutting at yourself to try to get it out. Trying to get it to come to pass. And it just irritates it even more. Then you get led to a different area in your life. You're like, this don't fit me right. I don't understand, but I'll do it if this is your will, God. But, okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on. And what happens? That wasn't the one, was it? So let me bring you back. This good. I'll preach myself happy. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Woo! Y'all don't know, I had my own moment there for a minute. I got delivered, man. But they bring you back and say, now this is yours. Now. But in the process, let me show you the process. This is what I want to show you. You can read on the story. This is a reference here, Genesis 21 through 18. 21 through 18 is what I'm going to show you. Sarah is my sister. ? Why is your sister? Because this way, hopefully, that she wouldn't be taken by King Abimelech, because Abraham already saw, you fine. Something happened to you. You changed. Me and you, we're going to hook up tonight because something's up, because you, dang, you fine. But I had to get out of the place of my barrenness. I had to get out of this place to get to a better place. The moment I got to walk in with God and with you, with the word, something transpired in you and in me. We don't even look the way we used to look. We don't even feel the way we used to feel. Something's changing because you left that place of barrenness into the place of fruitfulness. That other people can see there's something on you. That's why he was scared. Abimelech, the thorn in my side. Watch this. He took Sarah Abraham scared. He was scared. He was so scared of Abimelech. But watch what he had to do. Because God came in a dream to Abimelech. Why have you done and sinned against me? You're good at that. What he said. When you get that kind of a dream, you wake up in a cold sweat. I know that was you. Watch this. How would he know that that's God if he wasn't a believer in God?
Amen.
Look at here. Let me show you something. King Abimelech was not a worshiper of Elohim, Jehovah God. But when God came into his dream, he recognized he's God. Why? Because he spoke specifics about the woman laying right next to him.
Amen.
Only God can do that. Only God can do that. So when he woke up, he's like, I never touched her. He goes, I steadied you from touching her. I can preach that for some people that don't want to believe in God. He's kept you from even sinning even more. And if you didn't even believe in God, he has kept you. And you don't even worship him. Did you see that? King Abimelech didn't even worship God, but he steadied him from touching her. So for some of you that have family members that don't want to worship God, don't worry, because you do, he's keeping them. Amen. You don't give up. That's his promise that he has. He may use a song. He may use a concert just to get to them. Woo, y'all don't know. He just may use whatever he has to use to get their attention. Let me get back to the story. Watch this. Woo, watch this. When he gets up from that dream, he grabs that. Come over here, Sarah. I don't care how fine you are. Why did you bring this calamity on me? Take her, matter of fact, let me give you some silver. 1,000 pieces of silver. Can you say redemption?
Redemption.
God is redeeming your mistakes, and he's still blessing when you made your mistake. You know, when you wanted to move over here and you knew you shouldn't, but you just went because it looked good, he's going to bring you back into redemption, bring you right back where you needed to be. Oh, watch what he does. That's 21 through 18. Abimelech blesses them. Now take them, and you can live anywhere you want in my land. What'd you say? You know what freaked him out the most? In that dream, the first mention of a prophet. He is my prophet. I don't care what kind of God you serve, they all believed in prophets. So one thing he knew is that this man has favor and grace. So if I bless him, watch this. If I bless him, some good's coming my way. What had happened was, they couldn't have children. Abimelech, his slaves, his wife, shame on Abimelech, couldn't have babies. Wait a minute. They couldn't have babies. Abraham comes and now prays for Abimelech, his enemy. And at that moment, their wombs were opened. Now, how would you know they were opened? Did they leave right away? How are you going to know that their wombs were open? You saw babies. Wah! Babies. That's how you know the word came to pass, through his prayers. So that meant, if you go to the next part, it says Genesis 21, 1 through 7. After they pray and after a time there with them, they see babies being born. Can you imagine what Sarah and Abraham are going through? You're the one that's been messing with me. You took my wife. I should just take my bat out my car right now and go deal with you right now. Then I prayed for you. Yes, you gave me silver, but I didn't need silver. Abraham was already wealthy. So what you gave him, he didn't need. What he wanted, man couldn't give. But when he prayed for Abimelech and the slaves, guess what happened? He had to witness everything that he wanted come to pass right before their eyes. For them, and not for Abraham and Sarah. Isn't that crazy? Does it feel like sometimes you pray for people and they get what they want, but you get... Oh, that's funny, God. You a funny God. I pray for them. They get it. We don't get nothing. You're funny. You know how we do. Don't look at me all sanctified. We get indignant with God, too, because Abraham and Sarah are looking at like, you coming against us. I was scared of you, and I prayed for you. Now you have kids, and look at my wife. She's fine, but we still ain't no kids yet. So now you're in this portion of the story. Sarah gave birth to Isaac after they prayed. Isaac, son of laughter. Here comes Joyner. Watch. When we pray for our enemies, things begin to happen. They begin to happen. Don't wait to pray for someone's healing just because you have issues in your life. You pray because God is going to turn things around even in your life. Amen. Verse 22. Now Abimelech, let's go to verse 22. Are you there in your Bible? Because I want you to see this. This is what's crazy. He made the thorn become a blessing. Now watch. Because first, Abraham was scared, was he not? Was he not afraid of Abimelech? Baby, I know you find it. You got to be my sister. It turns around. Now Abimelech is afraid of Abraham. When something's on you, that comes from God, your enemies start to bow down at you. Now watch this. If you read on the story, Abraham now goes and rebukes the king. for a well that they took from Abraham. Abraham says, you know what? I rebuke you. I reprove you. I rebuke. I'm very mad at you. You mess with me too much. Now I'm going to dig this well right here, this well, and I'm going to give you these seven lambs. But they're baby lambs. Seven. What are these for? To show you I'm making a covenant that this is mine and I made it before the eyes of your servants and you. This is mine. And it was his to this day. You know what I find very interesting? Is that after that, Abimelech left him alone. What happened? The thorn was removed. God did it, and he did it his way with the spoken word. Now, after they prayed for Abimelech and they all had babies and then she had Isaac, watch this. This is very interesting. It's interesting. Oh, it's right here. Sorry. Pay attention, Marty. Abraham lived to be 175. When he had Isaac, he was 100. She was 90. Look, she lived to be 127. Here's what Abraham had another wife after Sarah died, and he had more children. What happened? Faith and grace produces supernatural overflow. Supernatural overflow. Sometimes you don't understand what you're going through, but it's what's on you that makes people take notice of you. And they want what you got. But if you just continue on and get out of that barren place and keep walking in the word what God gave you, things begin to change. They begin to change. What I want to tell you is this. It don't matter what thorn is on your side, what spirit, what person, what job, whatever. It's there and it's going to get you to your destiny. Was it not Judas sitting amongst Jesus, but Judas was also the one that betrayed him with the kiss? Judas is the one that got him to the cross. Destiny. He rebuked my buddy Peter because Peter didn't want him to go. But Judas was the one that was getting him to his destiny. Do you understand? Some things just have to happen to get you to where you need to be so he can take you where you need to go. It's hard in the process, but the word never returns void unto him. It always produces what it set out to do. It produces it, and you walk in it. And as you walk in it, come on, as you walk in it, you begin to see something that the word begins to manifest on your behalf. On your behalf. Sometimes he puts you in places you don't want to be. Mm-hmm. Put you in a vehicle that you don't want to be in for a long time. Because they have a tendency to want to use that as manipulation and control. But what happens? What happens in the midst of you just being an influence? He now brings to you your promise. What we have to understand is that God is doing something for us right now. Right now. Let's not quit in the process. Let's not stop in our tracks. Let's continue to move on. And let's trust the word. Will you trust the word? Will you let the word that was spoken take its root? And if it takes root, it's going to produce for you. You have to let it take place. If you don't let it take place, you'll never see the fruit. He's getting you in position with his word. But he'll take you out of a place of the wilderness and take you into a place and take you to houses that you didn't build, vineyards you didn't plant. And he'll get you there and establish you there only because you trusted and believed. That's all he wants to do. How many of you want to bless your children to the extreme because you love them? How about buying them a home that they never put money down on just because you could do it? Just because you love them that much? How about buying them their vehicle and paying for their college because you could do it? Because you love them. There ain't nothing wrong with spoiling your kids to a certain degree. Responsibility must kick in at some point on their behalf. God wants to shower you with his blessings of love, grace, and mercy. He wants you to be set free of your past, set free of the things that you couldn't produce, to put you in a place that you could reproduce, to reproduce. And don't hold on to your past. The past has only made you strong enough for what's ahead of you. That's a word from the Lord. I was supposed to be teaching you about Jesus all month long. This one just kept jumping in my spirit. So I said, oh, okay, I'm going to show it. Show it in a way that I only think I know how to do it the best I can. And there's others that do great, phenomenal teachings on Abraham and Sarah. But one of the things I can tell you is that I know that I've been in positions in my life that it's not producing anything. But then he brings me to a better place once I trust his word. Then they can see something on me. You know what I mean? Don't you want that? Now let's let God bring that to fruition for you. Amen? Lift up your hands and just surrender to the Lord. You don't have to stand up. Just surrender to him. Lord, we thank you for your spoken word and your written word. We thank you that it takes root into our spirit and our soul, but it produces fruit before our eyes. And I thank you, Lord, that whatever was barren in our life, Lord, or whatever was void and whatever wasn't there, Lord, that you can bring back and restore to us what we once lost. And Father, you even begin to do it even in our old age. Whether how long we've ever been in the kingdom of God, Lord, you can still restore to us what we have lost just last week. For some of us, just yesterday. God, you are the restorer. You are the redeemer. But truly, you're Lord over our life. And Lord, I just thank you for your covenant that you made with us. This is the new covenant. And today, Lord, we just say yes to you in your will, that your word shall produce its fruit in its season. Father, we thank you that in the times and transition that we don't get weary. We understand that the season and time is that thorn, but in the end you shall remove it and you'll bring peace and comfort back into our life. So Father, we thank you. We receive your blessing in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pray that you are blessed by the word. The word. The word of God is what takes root. Amen. As they pass out the envelopes for your tithe and your offering, make it a point to just be obedient to God in your heart. Amen. If he's placed it in your heart to sow, sow. If he didn't place it in your heart to don't sow, then don't sow. Don't. I don't want to ever pressure you for giving. Yes, we're doing a fundraiser. Yes, we're trying to raise money. But the reality is you want to do it out of your goodness of your heart, not because we're trying to make you do it. So if God has spoken to you to sow, sow. But here's what the scripture says. Bring all ye your tithes into the storehouse. This is a storehouse. When you bring the tithes into the storehouse, this is what the Bible says. That the Lord God himself will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Your sake. How about you? But I want the devourer rebuked in my life. We all have them. We all have devourers. They're called bills. Unexpected bills. Unexpected medical bills. Unexpected accidents. And you notice when you start doing golf, so you got a little bit of extra money in your pocket, a bill shows up that you have to pay, like or something's going to get turned off. That's the devourer. He's trying to take away that needs to go into the kingdom. But if you honor God and you're giving with a cheerful heart, what he does for you sometimes is more than money. And something what money can't buy. He can shift that shadow that's in your life that needs to go away. He can shift it. Money can't do that. Yeah, I know that the tithes and offering is seed of money. But God looks beyond that to get you to what you need. Amen. Some of y'all are believing for a new job or a new position. I don't know who that is, but write it down on there. Write it down. New job, new position, or even a promotion.